two things. May we bring you some papers?
What
else? It's Interest Matters on 9-1.
Why, yes. Oh, George, I'm surviving a little bit. We've got a communist spread sweeping Latin America. I just had lunch with about a dozen of them. And, Peru and Venezuela and Panama and Brazil. And the Fulbright thing has got us an awfully precarious position. The communists are saying that here's what my own government says.
Right.
Just a kind of a right-wing go-water bomb dropper, liberty lobby, McCarthy type.
Right.
The people are all against us. Fulbright speaking for the masses and so on and so forth. So I tried to point out to them what the situation was. They really haven't, they passed 14 new tax reform laws in 14 countries, about 13 land reform laws, but none of them have put them into existence. They just pass them, don't do a goddamn thing about them. And we're sitting here with 600 million. And so I just told them that we're going to have to get a little action, and maybe we had interfered too much with money too, and I'm just going to have to take a little look at it. And they point out that Havana radio is broadcasting every night, and
right.
Our signal is a little wobbly and not
right.
Very good, and Havana's is just as clear as a bell, and
right.
They say it in Peru, and the ambassador said, we hear, now don't wait on this alliance, it's no good, it's just operated by rich people, the only way to get land is go take it.
Right. Exactly
and
right.
And Fulbright says you ought to have revolution.
Right.
So
I want to tell you what, just on this line, that's what I wanted to visit with you about. Yesterday, after when I was over there, handling, and Russell had to leave for a little while, and I was handling the Canadian auto parts agreement.
By the way, on this, before you get any further, I think you ought to, as kind of an expert, or at least I've always looked upon you as an expert, go into this with Long a little bit. He's on Face the Nation Sunday.
Yeah.
And he is looked upon as kind of a liberal with some of these forces, and he's got to, he's rather come up a little bit, and he's helped the South a little bit. And I think that he ought to get a question or two planted on him in the Dominican Republic, and he ought to say it. He thinks it's done well. And
right.
That we made real progress, and we evacuated 6,000 in 46
right.
countries, and that my popularity jumped up from 63 to 70 on account of it in America, but that Fulbright's speech and McCarthy's speech and others is endangering what's happening in the Dominican Republic, and the people ought to know that if our senators want a communist government down there, that they're damn sure liable to get one if they just keep on talking.
Right. Well, that's I will. I'll
you give him a little background
all
what's
right.
happening so he'll have some knowledge of it. His speech was a pretty good and effective one, but I'm not sure he had enough facts in it.
Yeah. Well, both remember the day we both went
sure,
over there.
Sure.
We did. We just sort of shot from the hip. I don't know whether you read the...
Yes, I did, and I thought that...
We didn't have time to work on it like Tom Dodd because we were trying to nullify it at the moment.
That's right.
And I had made a pretty good speech about 2 weeks before that on the Dominican Republic, which was damn good. You had suggested it to me, but it didn't be a drop as far as getting any publicity, which is the way it is. But what I want to tell you about is yesterday, and I think this is somewhat revealing and may be a little bit helpful, but anyway, yesterday, I was, Russell had to go away and so he asked me to handle the Canadian auto parts thing. So I was there and we finally had gotten an agreement. We were voted 4:00. And about that time, McCarthy came in to make this speech. Well, I tried to dissuade him and on the ground that we were going to screw up the automobile agreement and so on. But Mansfield said, no, he'll go ahead and it's easier to let him make it and then we can get a vote sooner. So we did. Now, the substance of the speech was exoneration of Fulbright. That's what it amounted to, without doing too much It didn't jump on you or didn't take any particular position with respect to whether you were right or wrong, but sort of an exoneration of Fulbright. He had alerted Fulbright because Fulbright was there. Well, I listened to the speech a little while. I had not intended to say a damn thing because I was trying to get the vote on the Canadian thing. And finally, it just got so bad that Fulbright got up and thanked him, and a couple of fellas, Carlson, got up and said that he thought Fulbright had made a big contribution. So finally, I just went to hell with it. I can't stand it longer. So I got up and I started after McCarthy in a nice way on the basis of the fact that, did he mean to infer by this that the President of the United States had to wait until there had been a discussion in the Senate about all these kind of issues before the president could act. And if he did, he had not read the Constitution of the United States. And then we started on that premise and then kept asking, would you not agree that the president has the sole and final responsibility? He's got to make the decision. If we had these academic debates over here, as good as they are, why, the country, every country would be gone at the rapidity with which things move. Fulbright got into it and gave me a little bit of hell and so on. Anyway, then Mansfield said, now stop this because you're going to start, here's Morse here now, and you're going to start a hell of a big argument and so on. So I just made a statement, well, I'll answer this a little later, but I want to go ahead with the vote on the Canadian auto parts. So then I sat down, and Fulbright, at that particular point, went over and sat down right in the front, talking to Mansfield. So I went over to him. As you know, he's a good friend of my brother's, mine. We're some fashion related way back. So I said, now, Bill, I want to tell you something. And this is what worries me. We're going to lose the Dominican Republic just as certain as you're sitting right here and I'm looking right at you. And you know whose fault it's going to be. It's going to be your fault. I don't want to say this publicly, but I give you my word of honor that this country now, on the basis of what you've said, you have so encouraged the communist forces and the forces that are used by the communist forces to such an extent that we're going to lose the Dominican Republic, we're going to lose others. And you know what you're going to be known as? The man who spoke at the wrong time and gave the Dominican Republic to the communists. And he said, you're kidding. And I'm not kidding you, goddammit. He said, you mean if they have elections that the communists are going to win? I said, hell, they have already got it won. And your guys won't tell you that. They've already got it won, and you have just screwed this up. And I hate to see you go down in history as the man who was responsible for our losing Dominican Republic. Owen Latimer is given credit for having lost China, and Bill Fulbright is going to be given credit for having lost Dominican Republic. Well, he's listening to me, and Mansfield said they didn't say anything, and he said, well, I don't think it's that bad. I said, well, you just think about it. He said, well, I will, maybe you might, I don't know. So anyway, he let it go. Now, I didn't think I'd made much of an impression on it, but my brother went down to see him today about this interim and things, some other things. And he came back and said, boy, you really shook the ass off Fulbright. What do you mean? He said, well, he said, you, what you said to him yesterday really made an impression on him. He doesn't want to be responsible, be known as the man in history who is, go down in history as the man who lost the Dominican Republic. And I said, well, I can't blame him, but that sure as hell is what's going to happen. He said, well, I want to tell you this, you really put it to him. Now, I could tell I had, but I didn't know how good I had done it or how I'd stuck it to him. But this shook him. Now, it occurs to me, and I don't know, you've got access to these people, I don't have it. Bill White, or not Bill White, because Bill Fulbright thinks that you write Bill White's column. But somebody, maybe Ronnie Evans or something, they would write a column that we're about to lose the Dominican Republic because, first, it has put Bill Fulbright's speech puts you in a position where all over Latin America, as you said a moment ago, you look like you're the Goldwater McCarthy type, and that half the people of the nation are on the other side. And I told Bill Fulbright this. I said, Bill, if Gene McCarthy's speech won't get on the front page tomorrow because he's just an ordinary member of the Foreign Relations Committee, but you're chairman. And when you speak, the people don't know how we talk here throughout the world, and they think the whole country is divided. And that half the people are following you, and you and I know you ain't got a corporal's guard, but that doesn't make any difference to them. the enemies of the United States are encouraged and their friends are discouraged. Now, anyway, this is what the argument. So, if we could get Roland Evans to write a little column that the real friend, that the friends of Bill Fulbright are really getting worried because who are also friends of the country, they can see that Bill Fulbright, with this terribly inopportune speech, is going to be the daddy of the Dominican Republic communist government, whether he appreciates it or not. And I think that if he read that now, after having what we said to him, I think I'm satisfied he would not make any more speeches. But he is disturbed about it. He told Frank he was thinking about resigning and to hell with the whole thing. Marcy, of course, is bad. Pat Holt is really not that bad, but he's helping Bill, and they're giving him, just destroying him, and at the same time destroying your program. And I think that if we could get somebody, he's just on this line. He doesn't want this. He doesn't want to be responsible, and he just hadn't really quite realized the extent to which the damage that he has done. Only because he's chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee. So if you can get somebody to, maybe they could come over and interview me. I don't know anyway. But if I can't very well get him to do it, but maybe Bill Moyer could. And I think he would be effective. And I think that if I think it's frankly to your advantage in some respects to put it out now that things look damn bad in the Dominican Republic. It is not made any easier by the fact that a lot of the folks, our own folks, are being experts on a matter where they don't have, they got all the liberty to talk, but they got no responsibility.
Thank you. I'll go into it and see what I can do.
All right.
Sure, appreciate it.
Thank you.